This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Southwest Florida's own Zid in the 25 joins us in studio on the release of his second album of electronic alternative synth rock music titled Counting Days. Later this hour, we'll explore Zid's unique approach to music composition and hear songs from the new album. But first, the Americana Community Music Association holds its sixth anniversary concert this Saturday at All Faiths Unitarian Congregation on McGregor Boulevard in Fort Myers. The nonprofit brings together professional touring artists, local singer-songwriters, and fans of the Americana, folk, roots, bluegrass, R&B, and blues music traditions for performances held in a respectful, intimate setting. The organization has featured more than 130 local and visiting artists so far. And the association's Sunday Songwriter Circles also provides a supportive venue for songwriters to present new songs and foster their own creativity. The lineup for the sixth anniversary show consists of performances all from founding songwriter members. And joining us for a preview of the show and to learn more about the ACMA are founding members and singer-songwriters Mike McMillan and Dan Vilgreen. And they've brought their guitars today to treat us to some live in-studio performances. Mike and Dan, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having
us, John.
It's great to be here.
And as always, I invite listeners to join the conversation. Connect with our guests with your comments and questions. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And first of all, since you're both founding members of the organization, what can you tell me about the group's origins? How did founding members kind of come together and decide to create this?
This was created actually by women to start with, which is
okay.
a nice thing. Some women who did local house concerts wanted to know how to take that out of their homes and bring it more to the community. And then in the pursuit of that, they created a nonprofit organization to foster that kind of music in Fort Myers.
And what about you, Dan? When did you come on board?
Well, I was around when they first started it, and then I didn't get real involved at first because I had some gigging that I was doing every weekend, so I had to miss out on things. So I kind of got active a few years into it, even though I'm a charter member. But it was something that it's pretty amazing, actually, because I've been interested in this kind of music since I was, a kid in high school, which was quite a while ago. And but I've lived in seven states, I think. I never found a place to really hear this kind of music, and have a group that was into it, So it was really a solitary kind of a pursuit of, late at night singing folk songs and looking for them and learning them and so forth. But so anyway, when I found this, I thought, wow, this is awesome, and it's been awesome. It's not just a group where people come and play and sing. It's a true community, and there's a lot of, very significant friendships, and it's just a wonderful group of folks gathered around a particular genre of music.
And Mike, does your experience mirror Dan's in terms of, kind of doing this on your own and then with this group sort of finding out there was this whole community out there?
Yes. I used to live in Michigan, and I've been here 9 years now. And I'd been looking for people to – I really looked for other musicians. I didn't consider myself at that point to be a songwriter. And I bumped into these folks, and they were a great group of people to be around, a great community. We do a singer-songwriter circle on Sunday, which is very casual. We have people from great players to people that just picked up a guitar and started last week.
Mm-hmm.
And all are welcome.
Yep.
And all are a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it's very encouraging. It can be really intimidating to try to create a piece of art, and share it with somebody. But it's this very, very positive, encouraging kind of a group. And we've seen some people that came in with very low skill level and have really developed into significant songwriters. They're doing some fun stuff.
What does the 501c3, official nonprofit status perhaps allow you to do that maybe you wouldn't just as like a casual affiliation of people with this common interest?
It allows us to, first of all, take contributions that are tax deductible.
Oh, yes.
Much like your radio station.
Very much so.
Although we don't have major contributors, our to join costs $35 for an individual for a year. So it's not expensive. It also allows us to get grants from the community. For instance, we've gotten grants to do workshops for our members and for the community in general. So when we bring in a great blues artist like Roy Bookbinder, we might do a workshop where he can take 10 students in the daytime and explain what he does with the blues, or any of the other people that appeared there. So last year we did 5 workshops like that. And we did that on the basis of a grant, which we got because we were a nonprofit. Back to your question, and that worked out pretty well. And we're hoping to continue to do that.
So I think you've made clear what the benefits of membership are, but I also want to be clear that you don't have to be a member to come attend your show.
Not at all.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyone's welcome. Sure.
I always tell people one of the great things about our show, and I want to stress the fact that this is a listening room. People don't talk. If you want to go to a bar and drink a beer and talk to somebody, there's lots of places to do that. But if you want to go and listen to live original music, there are very few places to do that. Mm-hmm. So if you've stopped going to concerts because they're a hassle,
yeah,
this has got great air conditioning, soft seats, quiet room, and a almost reverential respect for the artists that are there.
And it doesn't cost very much.
Yes. Good point, Dan.
And in just 6 years, this organization has featured a really impressive number of, both local performers and touring performers. The website listed, I counted like 135.
Yeah, it's crazy how many there are, yeah.
And they're contacting us now. We used to have to go out and find people to play. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting contacts, and I can't recall anybody that's played at our listening room that didn't want to come back.
Excellent.
They love the idea of an attentive audience that's there to listen to them. And even traveling performers have a hard time finding that.
Sure. I would. Yeah.
And we have more than we can accommodate now. We actually have a committee of people that listen and kind of vet the folks that want to – the outside folks that want to come over.
That's a great position to be in.
Yeah. But at the same time, that's the touring artists, the folks who come from far and wide. But we also have what we call homegrown concerts featuring our own members, local folks. So it's a different quality standard expectation, of the touring artists and the local people. So it's a wide spectrum, and it gives, our local folks a chance to play in front of a group, and it's a great experience.
Well, we're going to delve into your approaches, for songwriting a little bit later in the show. But right now, Dan, let's go ahead and hear a song from
okay.
you. And what are you going to play for us? Is this
all right? This is a song called "Red Daddy's Car," and like every song has a story.
Yes.
Any good song has a story. But it just seems to me that folk music somehow just has it's a perfect medium for telling stories somehow. Just earthy, folksy stories about life, and that's one thing I love about folk music. So anyway, this is a story about a car that I happen to have a special affinity for.
All right.
In 1957, two things came to be. One automotive icon, the other was me. Dad had a bright red four-door, his pride and joy. He cruised it down the boulevard with his car, toddler boy. Hooded headlights, big tail fins, double takes and big wide grins. Lots of chrome, my predilection. 57 was classic car perfection. The best of the 50s, that red Bel Air. Those big tail fins, you couldn't help but stare. One sight today leaves my mind ajar. A rolling sculpture I call Red Daddy's Car. Little feet on that seat, hands gripping the wheel, driving that red wonder, how it made me feel. Couldn't hope to reach the pedals a mile away, but my imagination knew no bounds, racing down the highway. Hooded headlights, big tail fins, double takes and big wide grins. Lots of chrome, my predilection. 57 was classic car perfection. Well, one day Dad was wooed away, a tale of woe. He wanted a VW, the Chevy had to go. We stood in the yard, watched it drive away. Would that I could reverse time and replay that day.
Sometimes I'd dream that I'd have it still. The sight would make me glad. Tucked away in my garage, I'd have a piece of dad. Instead, a tiny model sits parked upon my shelf. A symbol of connection between my father and myself. Hooded headlights, big tail fins, double takes and big white grins. Lots of chrome predilection. 57 was classic car perfection. Well, 57 was quite a while ago. Many cars have come and gone, but none have filled that role. I never cared to keep one, it was never a goal. But every 57 Chevy has a piece of my soul. Hooded headlights, big tail fins, double takes and big wide grins. Lots of chrome, my predilection. 57 was classic car perfection. 57 was classic car perfection.
All right. That was Dan Filgreen delivering us a healthy dose of nostalgia there with his original song, Red Daddy's Car. He is a founding member of the Americana Community Music Association, and he joins us along with fellow founding member Mike McMillan ahead of the nonprofit's sixth anniversary show this Saturday evening at All Faiths Unitarian Congregation on McGregor Boulevard here in Fort Myers. And of course, listeners can join our conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And we talked a little bit about the performance venue, and I got to say that the first time I came to an ACMA show, some friends brought me, and I was really surprised when we pulled into a church parking lot.
Yeah.
So tell me about the, I guess, the choice for the venue there.
Well, there was, for several years, a listening room venue that was a storefront on 41. That was just this neutral place that we had. Mm-hmm. And it's a long story how that came and how it went away. But when it did go away, the board was looking for another place to have events and have the songwriter circle and so forth. And there were some connections with the Unitarian Church there, and it just worked out. They were able to secure the use of the building, and those folks have been very generous and gracious with their building. Now, that said, the group isn't officially affiliated with the church at all. It just uses the building. And it speaks to kind of what I was mentioning, the community aspect, and something that I have really appreciated about the group is, you know, it's centered around a genre of music, but it attracts folks from a very diverse spectrum of thoughts, of the political persuasions, faith systems, socioeconomic levels. I mean, it's quite a wide group. And, you know, it seems to me in most groups, whether, you know, interest groups, tend to attract people that are more alike than different, you know,
yeah,
more homogeneous. And this group is not like that at all. And it's really cool because, you know, what we gather and do is write songs, which generally come from someone's, you know, inner being, and it's things that we care about. And everyone else respectfully sits and listens to those things. So you're sharing meaningful things about yourself and your life and your outlook. And we're people that, if we weren't into this kind of music, a lot of us wouldn't become friends. Like Mike and I would never be friends, right? No, I'm just kidding.
We probably wouldn't have found each other.
We wouldn't have found each other, certainly.
Right.
But I'm just talking about ideologically, you know, in ways of thinking. There's folks that I have dear, dear friends in this group now that I probably would have never been friends with them because we just don't move in the same circles and we have very different ideas about things. So it's I feel like it's a very healthy and wonderful environment to really talk to folks who are different than yourself, you know, and that's something that I've really appreciated about the community aspect of it, beyond the music, which I, of course, love.
Yeah. And Dan, I wanted to explore a little bit your own approach to songwriting, because you had expressed to me in our email exchange, you know, your appreciation that, you know, this genre of music or songs in general can really tell a story.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And you like to tell, you know, songs that are optimistic and hopeful.
Yeah, that's my thing. I mean, everybody has their reason for doing it. I mean, we do it a lot because it's just an enjoyable thing to do. And most of us do it primarily for ourselves. You know, the fact that we have an opportunity to share it with other folks is a bonus, and it's a wonderful thing. But yeah, there's a lot. There's so much negativity in the world, and so I thought, if I have a chance to share a story or share something or a thought on life and put it in the form of a song, you know, I hope that at the end of the song, someone feels better about life, feels better about the road ahead of them, you know, look up instead of down, you know.
Do you ever explore the, you know, quote unquote, darker side of Americana? Because I got to say, when I
read there is. Sure. Yeah.
I was thinking like Gene Autry's Silver Haired Daddy. I mean, that is a song of lamentation. Or
right.
Like, you know, Everly Brothers Down in the Willow Garden. I mean, that's a straight up murder.
It's funny
ballad,
you should say that, because all of us that have lived long enough, you know, we've faced difficult periods of our lives and difficult season. And I went through a very, very difficult season for a number of years, about a decade ago. And I was writing, my guitar was my therapy through that time. And I was writing songs and, you know, of very sad and, you know, heartrending things. I sent some to a musician friend of mine, some, you know, little bass recordings. He says, oh, those are some nice songs, Dan. Now, how about writing some happy songs?
Okay.
So, and I felt like for me, and like I think a lot of, you know, people of artistic bent, the muse seems to be all around you when things are hard and there's the struggle. And then when things are going well, you know, you're kind of busy having fun, enjoying life, you know. And I found that when the ACMA started, I was kind of in that mode. I'd come out of a dark time. And I wasn't writing. It's like I was busy having fun. And so I thought, you know, maybe if I go to this songwriting circle, hang out with these folks, maybe I'll get inspired to write some more positive songs. And that's exactly what's happened. And so now I'm happy to say I have a lot more happy songs than those sad ones, which I don't play much anymore.
Cool. Right. Well, on that note, tell us about your next song called The Next Right Thing that we're going to hear.
Okay, so this is my latest number. And it's in a different tuning, so...
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
So bear with me as I get it into the... Get it here where it needs to be. So, yeah, this was... there was a concert at the ACMA and featuring one of our founding guys, a guy named Roy Schneider, without whom the ACMA would not exist, but that's a long story. Come Saturday night and you'll hear about that.
Okay.
But, Roy and his wife, Kim, were having a concert at the ACMA, and one of our members really wanted to come. She's looking forward to it. But it turns out she couldn't come because of something that she needed to take care of. And so there was a comment about this on a Facebook. We have a Facebook, you know, page, and she had said something, I can't be there, blah, blah. And then she said, yeah, I've got to go to my friend's mom's funeral. It's the next right thing to do. Mm. And I said, Carrie Ann, that's profound. I think what a wonderful way to live your life, you know, thinking about what's the next right thing. I need to do that. And one of our other board members popped in there and said, song title, Dan? And question mark? And I go, yes. And so, and this is it. It's called The Next Right Thing. Carrie Ann's friend called today, said her mother had passed away. Carrie Ann jumped right on a plane, flew to her side in her time of pain. Her friend, you see, had done the same some years before. Down she came, she knew it, sure as her own name. It was the next right thing. The next right thing is right in front of you. It's your choice what you're gonna do. Take the easy way, turn and walk away, or man up today and do the next right thing. The next right thing. All around our town today, a little kindness goes a long, long way. I'd like to try. Now what do you say? I'll bet you would too. What kind of world would this be? If we would look, if our eyes could see, who needs a little help from me? And do the next right thing. The next right thing is right in front of you.
It's your choice what you're gonna do. Take the easy way, turn and walk away. A man of today can do the next right thing. The next right thing. The next right thing.
Beautiful. That was singer-songwriter Dan Philgreen performing one of his newest original songs, The Next Right Thing. Dan is a founding member of the Americana Community Music Association here in Southwest Florida, and he joins us along with fellow founding member and singer-songwriter Mike McMillan ahead of the organization's sixth anniversary show this Saturday night. And Mike, do you kind of have a similar approach to songwriting, or I guess what inspires you to write songs?
Well, not at all a similar approach to songwriting. Okay. When I first came here, I really thought of myself more as a guitar player than a songwriter. In fact, I hadn't been around people that wrote songs, and it didn't really matter to me. And then I come across all these people in Florida here who come here and write wonderful songs about their wives and wonderful songs about their lives. And I tried to do that, but I'm too much of a cynic for that. So if you're ready, I could play a song that –
Yeah, let's jump right into it.
Roll the cynicism.
I love the blues. I really consider myself to be a student of the blues.
All right.
So I love the blues artists, particularly from the 30s and the 40s. And every song that I write has something to do with them, in a sense. It's licks that I'm working on, or techniques that I want to learn on the guitar that are involved in those songs. So this song that I'm going to sing also happens to be, I think, what happens to a lot of people, which is I intended to write a different song than this, but this is the one that came out.
Right.
And as a consequence of that, I'm required to tell you that this song is not about my wife.
Okay.
Because I would like to go home later. And I normally say that when I play it publicly too. This actually, I found the hook for this song because I was mad at my bank. So who the heck knows where things come from?
Okay.
So this is called Worth the Squeeze. Met you, it was tease, tease, tease. When I first met you, it was tease, tease, tease. Before I realized the juice just wasn't worth the squeeze. Thank you.
getting up off my knees. Give you a warning, baby. I'm getting up off my knees. Because I now realize the juice just wasn't worth the squeeze.
Southwest Florida singer-songwriter Mike McMillan bringing the blues into our studios today. That was his original song, Worth the Squeeze. He's a founding member of the Americana Community Music Association, and he joins us in studio today along with fellow founding member Dan Philgreen ahead of this Saturday night's ACMA 6th anniversary show. And we've got a few minutes left, and I want to make sure we get another song from you, Mike. But before we do that, tell me a little bit about what folks can expect from Saturday night's show. What can you tell us about the performers?
Well, they'll be as different as Dan and I.
Yeah,
to start with.
All right. I think we have 11 on the lineup now. So you'll have a little bit of Mike, a little bit of me, and 9 others just as different.
There are women that do this too.
We have some wonderful ladies.
They'll be in the lineup.
But yeah, and as I mentioned, Roy Schneider, who's one of our few actually full-time professional musicians who's a member, he'll be doing a song or two, and he's always a big hit. He's a wonderful guy and a wonderful musician and songwriter. So, it'll be a fun night and very diverse. It's a good sampler. It's kind of like, go to a restaurant and order the sampler. This is a good night to sample some of the locals. And you'll get Roy, who's, he'll represent the professionals. You know, most of us, we don't do this for a living. This is a hobby.
Right.
It's a great time.
And even though we encourage people to come to Saturday's show and would love to have that happen, that's not typical of what our shows are like, because we generally start out with an opening act, which is one of the local singer-songwriters in our organization.
About 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then do a touring group of touring musicians mm-hmm. who tend to be a little more professional, a little more polished mm-hmm. than we are. So come on Saturday night, but come back and see some of the other stuff,
too.
I think
anyone who comes, you're going to come into a – everyone senses the community aspect of it, because it's very warm, very welcoming. Somebody will smile. Somebody will shake your hand, ask your name. It's a great experience, besides the music. It's just hanging out with the people. It's a great vibe.
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
That is a great vibe.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, let's hear one more song. Tell us what we're going to hear.
Okay. This is a song that really brings together three things that I've been trying to do for a long time. And we have songwriters who write a song every day.
Yeah.
I probably write 2 or 3 a year. Mm-hmm. So a song has to jump out and choke me and make me write it down. This is a song that is, first of all, a happy blues song, which are rare and hard to find. And it also is in it's an 8-bar blues tune, which is a form that I've been interested in doing. And I've been trying to write a song about my dog for a long time. And, it's hard, when you start with things like my dog's great, there's not many places to go. So what I found out, and I think what a lot of songwriters find, is sometimes it pays to come to something sort of from the side. So this is a happy blues sort of sideways for my dog. I live on the Gulf of Mexico, in
know there's nowhere else I want to go. I'm living a good life with a good dog by my side. I had a wife when she got mad. She took everything, everything I had. But at least she left me a good dog by my side. Don't need nobody to take care of me. And I won't beg on bended knee. I'm living a good life with a good dog by my side. We walk the beach most every day. My dog Arthur, he knows the way. 'Cause life's a little better with a good dog by your side. Troubles and woes knock on my front door, but I can ignore them even when they roar. 'Cause I'm living a life with a good dog by my side. So that's my story. Sometimes I fail, but I come home to a wagon tail. I'm living the good life with a good dog by my side. To live a good long time, a life of love with a little rhyme, living a good life with a good dog by my side. I live on the Gulf of Mexico. You know there's nowhere else I want to go. I'm living a good life with a good dog by my side.
Life is better with a good dog
it
by
is.
Your side.
That song's so new, it's a rough draft here on a piece of paper.
All right. We've been hearing from Mike McMillan and Dan Filgreen today. They're local singer-songwriters and founding members of the Americana Community Music Association, which celebrates its 6th anniversary show this Saturday night at All Faiths Unitarian Congregation on McGregor Boulevard. You can learn more about the show and about the nonprofit online at AmericanaCMA.org. Mike and Dan, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
See you at the shows.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, we'll jump into a whole other end of the music spectrum. Southwest Florida's own Zid in the 25 drops by with his second album of passionate, high-energy, electronic alternative and synth rock music ahead of the official album release concert early next month. We're speaking with Zid and hearing selections from the new album. That's just ahead. I'm John Davis, and this is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.